Thank you, Ms. Lindell. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to the book of James, James chapter 1. And it is true, there's only one life. It'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. I heard that throughout my life and much during our mission conferences through the years as I grew up at Salisbury Baptist Temple. And I think all of us ought to be sobered by the fact that this is only one life. And really, a lot of times we think about all the things that we do on a daily basis and how many of them are going to count for eternity. And really, the scripture is going to bear that out tonight. In James chapter number 1, I just want to preach a message tonight, and the title will be The Power of a Pure Mind. The Power of a Pure Mind. Oftentimes, we don't often think, and I think for myself, just doing some study about the mind itself and looking at some things in Scripture, these two passages, oftentimes we preach about this, and I don't often think about, when James says here, a double-minded man. Oftentimes, I always thought about it being more, being off with maybe thinking about tying it in with maybe two masters. And tonight, I want you to think about it in the context as we'll take and turn to 2 Peter in a few moments. But we'll look here at James that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. And really, the two minds that we can have is a pure mind. And what's the opposite of that? One that's impure. One that's not purposed on the will of God or the thoughts that God would have us to think and the things that God would have us ponder. And oftentimes, we don't think about it, but God gave us His mind in print in the Scripture. And it's going to bear out through the whole thing. A lot of times, we don't take advantage of having Jesus' mind in print and trying to make that more and more and closer every day to be in our mind on everything, to be in our heart on everything, and putting it, taking what's in print and imprinting it in our own memories, amen, and making ourselves and getting to the place where God allows us to get a pure mind, amen. And so that's the thought tonight, and I want to try to hopefully to bear that out. I want to pray tonight before we get started. So if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, I hope you're open to James chapter number 1 tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your word and how pure it is. Lord, we tout how pure and perfect the word of God is and how you've preserved it for us. And God, it has been preserved and it's been left for us today to help us purify the minds that you've given us, that we might not only just have be fallen man and have a saved soul and spirit, but Lord, you want us to have pure minds, to be able to have victory on a daily basis and think the thoughts that you want us to think, to think on the pure things that you have for us to do until you come. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray you'd help me get out of the way, Lord. I pray that you'd preach the message that you've preached to me in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 1, I want you to look at verse number 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, we don't often tie this all together with our mind, but I want you to see, focused on the mind, look at what he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. For if any of you lack wisdom, right? Why do we fall into temptation? Because we don't have wisdom. The first thing that we place we fail or fall is always in our mind first. And he goes on and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbridleth, look at that, not, and it shall be given unto him. So again, God says, if you really want wisdom, I got it. And all you got to do is ask for it. The key that unlocks wisdom for every one of us is what we preached on this morning, is asking. Prayer is asking. John R. Rice spent much of his life just preaching that over and over and over again. And prayer is asking. And he says here, but let him, when we see the word but, what happens? Changing sides of the street. But let him ask in faith. So it's not really changing lanes or changing sides of the streets or direction, but maybe just on the opposite side here, let him ask. But if we're going to ask, let's ask in faith. That means believing that God can do it. How many times do we ask God to do things that we don't really believe he's going to do. And when we believe in faith, we ask in faith and just trust in God that God is wisdom. God is truth. God has all these things in store for us. And that if I'm going to ask in faith, then what would I, we said this morning, I'm going to put feet to my prayers. So if I know where wisdom is and it's contained in a book, then I ask God to give me wisdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I went to Bible college here, and Dr. Pitts likes to make everybody take like 8,000, I'm exaggerating slightly, maybe by one or two, but like 8,000 verse quizzes for every one of his classes. Now, I was not a young man when I came here. I wasn't as young as some of these other guys with these bright minds and able to retain and, you know, at least use the flush method where they put it in their head and flush it out their arm, down the pen and onto the paper. If you've never heard of the flush method, you've never been a teacher. Because you know they knew it 2 seconds ago and now they don't know it anymore. It's because it went down their arm and onto the paper and they lost it. And it was gone. And how many of us sometimes when we memorize scripture or we focus on those things, we need to ask God, because if we're not careful, we won't be able to have a pure mind. Because as soon as we study, how much time do we give to the Word of God to know it, to study it, to have it be a part of us? And then how many of you never intended to memorize some of the things of the world? But when you walk through the store, a song comes on. And it wasn't something that you ever intended to memorize. It really isn't a song you ever really listened to outside of hearing it on commercials or hearing it about. But I mean, just like that, you could sing along with it. Just like that, you can finish the praise. I can sing I'm a Frito Benito tonight. I don't even like Fritos. But it's catchy. It's a tune that's easy to catch the words for it. And sometimes, listen, I'm going to tell you, this Word of God is so blessed and it's so rhythmic. It's such a perfect laid out scripture that it should be easy for us. But the problem is we don't often give it as much time as we do other things that the world bombards us with and attacks us with on a daily basis to overcome our mind. And if we're not, again, as we read down, if we don't have a pure mind, then what do we have? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We desire a pure mind. We are saved and on our way to heaven, and we try to input purity into ourselves. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to be double-minded. I want to be focused with the right kind of mind. Now, listen, you can be a businessman with a pure mind. You can be a janitor. You could be, I mean, we could go through and be a policeman with a pure mind. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter. Don't think that the preacher's the only occupation that can come with having a pure mind. We could go through the process, but he says, but if you lack, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let me ask you this. Now, as we come to that point, it's just like this. When we ask God for wisdom, or we ask God, if I could put it in this context, a pure mind, what are you holding back? Are you asking in faith? Because I know that it's God's will for you to have a pure mind. It's the desire of Almighty God to give you wisdom and for Him to have, for you to have a mind that is the mind of Christ, to think the way He thinks, or to at least, if I could say it this way, think pure thoughts and be on point with His will and think the Word of God. But oftentimes, instead of asking for that, maybe we're scared. Well, people will think I'm weird if I think like that. Because what we think comes out our mouth when we speak. I've said it over and over again, and I preached, if you would, turn with me to 2 Peter. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, because if you're trying to balance what the world thinks or what the world teaches with what God teaches, that's a seesaw you don't want to be on. And I'm going to tell you, again, the old adage, if we can take it this way, the spiritual man and the natural man, who's going to win the fight? Well, again, it's whoever you fed the most, right? If we take that same thing with two dogs in the fight, how about the playground and the seesaw? It's whichever one you feed the most. Whichever one of those two men have been fed the most, it's going to be the heavier side of the stick, and he's going to win every time, and he's going to keep one guy lifted up and off the ground, and the other one is going to be solid. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I don't know about you. Have you ever seen a squirrel stop in the middle of the road and do that squirrel dance that they do, trying to figure out? I mean, really, to me, it's suicide. It's squirrel-side is what I call it. Because I'm not slowing down. I've seen people try to wreck their car over a squirrel doing that squirrel dance. That's a double-minded squirrel. He don't know if he wants the nuts on this side of the road or the nuts on that side of the road, and he's stuck right there going, there's a car coming, but I'll make a decision in a minute. Can you imagine how many folks from heaven, how many Christians from heaven to the Lord Jesus and to God look like a squirrel in the road, trying to figure out which way they really want to go? Am I going to go God's way, or am I going to go my way? Am I going to go the world's way? Am I going to go somebody else's way? I mean, some influence you've had in your life. If you're not careful, you'll get in this dance back and forth. In the Bible here, Peter writes to the folks that he's here. And again, this is really focused on the Jews and this end times. But he's really going to give us some things that we ought to really take home. And this is not something that's new, but it ought to encourage your heart that we realize what we believe is true. All right? What we know to be true is true. And there are people who, again, don't have pure minds, and they're willingly ignorant of things of the Scripture, of things of creation, and things that God just said are so. And just because they are willingly ignorant of those things don't mean that they're not true. And we ought to, with a pure mind, follow the things of the Word of God and not the things the world say are true. If you're not careful, you'll believe that, listen, I'm going to tell you that, you know, we're in the midst of, and you got one of that, the second named hurricane, and this one is supposed to be the fastest. And I mean, if you read the article today, well, I mean, it set a bunch of brand new records of being so early and so fast on, and everybody's been predicting a terrible hurricane season. Now we're in a place where that matters to us. Okay, if you're not careful, you have already bought 800 cases of water. Okay, I'm telling you, I mean, we're already at that place. And I'm not against doom and gloom. I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, we'll get to the place where we'll get to believe. And we know, listen, the water gets warmer at times. It gets cooler at times. All right, the jet stream moves. You know, it's been doing that since the flood. In hundreds of year cycle, these things happen and go up and down. But if you're not careful, you'll catch the lie of this leftist group that somehow, because you drove an SUV to church tonight, you stirred up that hurricane down in the Gulf. All right? And that if you let your diesel truck idle too long at the store, that you're going to cause another one. Folks, I'm just telling you, that ain't so. You don't got that kind of power. You ought to reset your pure mind on some things that are truthfully the Word of God. And God, listen, things are going to happen in cycles. There are going to be some hurricane seasons that go by. Now, you know what happens in the north? Instead of global warming, now they're claiming global warming is causing all the deep snow that they had last winter. I'm not sure how that works. All right, but I mean, you know, record snowfalls because things are changed. Why don't we just get a mindset that God has, and that we realize that God is in control of those things. And by the way, just let me tell you this. Anytime that the world gets out of whack with Israel, natural disasters take place all around the world. And you mark her down. If it's going to be a terrible hurricane season, you start looking at places that lined up against Israel, and I guarantee you God will stir them up and send it to them. And I'm just hoping, listen, I'm hoping we stay on the right side of this thing. Because we're not against God. Listen, the last time that Obama really took a stand against Israel, we took a bad hit. We took one that they still haven't really got over in the South. Folks, I'm just telling you, we need to come to the place, if we're not careful, to believe God. Look at what he says in this first verse of chapter number 3 of 2 Peter. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you in both which I stir, listen, this is what he says, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Oftentimes, wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is something that we ask God and we get understanding, and wisdom is putting into practice what we understand to be true. And wisdom is really asking God, God, help me understand what you've told me in your word. How am I supposed to practice it? Do you know that's most people? Most people understand, they know the things of God, but how do I practice it? How do I put it into practice in my life? What's the door? I want to see God's will done, but who am I supposed to talk to, and where am I supposed to do, and how am I supposed to do it? That's wisdom. Wisdom to know how to rightly apply the things of God in the Word. And he says here, he goes, that I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now he goes on and he's talking about this book. He's writing 2 Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 2 he says, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So what he's done here is he says that I'm going to stir up your minds in remembrance, that you might be mindful of the Bible. Peter says, I'm writing another book for you to be mindful of all the things that have come before this book. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know, there wasn't just one giving of the law. There was a re-giving of the law under Moses. He had to remind another generation of everything that God had told him before in Deuteronomy. To remind them to live the way God had told him to live and to do what God had told him to do and to keep it in practice. He said, I stir up your pure minds. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you know what a double-minded man, he looks like the squirrel standing in the road, can't go one way. What the power of a pure mind does for us is it helps us make right decisions. Amen. And to trust the outcome and by faith that God's got it handled. You know, if you're not careful, you'll second guess how to raise your kids, and you'll start thinking about the things the world wants you to do to raise the right kids, or how you ought to bend in certain areas because that's just too old-fashioned. That's just the old way. No, that's the Bible way, and everybody that's ever practiced it, by the time their kids are grown, are thankful that they put in the work and did it God's way. Amen. Sometimes we get to the place where we think that we can ease up on some things that God has always rang true in the lives. Don't think that you're the exception. Don't think that you're double-mindedness. There's no need of bouncing back and forth. And I'm just going to tell you that sometimes, folks, we don't always bounce back and forth. Sometimes we lean one way or the other. And the sad fact is we need to be stirred up often to get into pure mind. We come to church on a weekly basis, and we ought to come to worship, but when, instead of worshiping God in a pure mind, oftentimes the preacher's first got to stir us up to get our pure minds working. Do you know what the song service really is about? Stirring up your pure minds. Because when you came in, you're worried about all the cares of this world, and you're worried about everything else that's going on in the world, and everything, how your investments are doing, and I mean all kinds of other things under the sun, and the last thing you're thinking about is walking into church to lift up the Lord and to worship Him for everything that He's done for you. And the song service ought to bring tears to your eyes when you start singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. The same songs when you first got saved that used to break your heart and make tears run down your cheeks, now you just sing them like they're just, you know, just any old song. I surrender all, and you're not surrendering nothing. Folks, when we come to church, there's a plan and a purpose in how do we prepare our hearts so that we might be able to get in tune. That soul and spirit inside of yourself, that is, listen, it's speaking to your mind. And tonight I just wonder, why don't we get back to the place where he says, that ye may be mindful of the words. Do you know this book? Think about if everybody in here, we purposefully really worked hard at putting some things together. Now this is something that'll help you. But you know what every one of these are written off of? At the top of the page, before there's any writing below it, read this verse. And if you don't read anything that any one of us that write for that thing wrote in there, I'm just going to tell you, the best thing you can read is chapter and verse that stands at the top of it. And if you don't have time to do anything else, read the verse or verses that we put forth in the title that was there. Because if nothing else, the verse and the title would stir up your pure minds. If you say, I don't have time for that, then have time for just the title and just the verse to provoke your pure mind to live in a way. Listen, on a daily basis, if all we ever got was Sunday morning, we'd be in trouble. Only stirred up one time a week about the Lord. Sunday night, we come back, and it's the core group of people, and we prod a little deeper and try to plow a little harder to stir up our pure minds. And on Wednesday night, we study the Bible so that we can take in some more and have more wisdom or knowledge of the Scripture to apply to our lives. But 3 days a week, that's not enough. That's not going to keep your mind pure. If we took and just to balance it out, and listen, preacher's been preaching this, but it's so true since I was a boy. Do you think you get more Bible and church time, or do you get more television time? Okay? Do you get even, maybe you're not a television guy, okay? And that, maybe you're not a television lady. Maybe you don't watch, you know, as the stomach turns. I don't know what you watch, all right? So I don't even know what's out there, right? But I mean, we live in a day and age now where you don't, you know, we're not set to where we have to be people where we run to watch our show. You know, it started with DVR, now it's just on demand. Whenever we decide to sit down and watch it or binge or do whatever we do, again, and most of those things, are those things building us up or stirring up our pure minds? Or is it making us more double-minded about the things of this life? He goes on, and after laying the foundation here, he clearly says that the thing that he wants us to be reminded of is the Word of God. And he clearly says here that he says, spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He gets Old and New Testament knocked out with this single verse that we need all of it to stir up our pure minds. And then says in verse 3, knowing this first. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to have a pure mind, I need to know this one first. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's going to mention the last days. You're in them. Don't forget that. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Do you know how much young people, and I'm not saying just young people, I would even say venture to say, when I say young people, that's anybody in here that can really work a smartphone. If you're able to look up Facebook, YouTube, or anything, then you fall under the category of a young person. All right? Tonight, take that for what it's worth, all right? You're young enough. If you've gone, you're hip enough to be able to do those things. I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to get this, that you have run across a scoffer. That word means scorner. That means somebody that mocks the things of God. The things that we would say make up or would build up into a pure mind. Do you know there are people that mock your pure mind out there? When you think on right things and you do right things and you care about the right things and you give to the right things, they're going to mock it. Now, they seemingly on the outside are good people. What do you mean, good people? Those are people that go to church. Okay? They go to church somewhere. Involvement. They're not really invested. Okay? But they are double-minded as well. And they tell you it's okay to be double-minded. It's okay to have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. They try to convince you and scoff at the idea that your whole life would be tied up in telling people about Jesus. They scoff at the fact that you give and you go for the great commission of Jesus Christ. And they scoff and they scoff. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you listen to it too long, it'll wear you down. It'll depress you. It'll make you think that what you've decided to give your life to don't really matter that much. It'll make you think that you don't have to go to a church that preaches on it like this one all the time. One that tries to stir up your pure minds to stay focused on the things of God. Why don't you just go to one that'll tell you that everything's good? That everything's right. That if you give a little, go a little, then you're good a lot. Everything's right. Don't really preach on the last days. That would be a downer. That would hurt you, right? Folks, I'm just going to tell you. Here he says that. Know this first. And if you don't really chalk that up, you're not really prepared. You haven't put the helmet of salvation on and armored yourself up, because Peter says, know this first. There are going to be people, as soon as you walk out of this door, as sure as I have been called by God to be the preacher of his word, I'm telling you, you walk out that door and people are going to scoff at what you heard tonight. They're going to be scoffing about what is preached. They're going to be scoffing about what you give and how much you go and whether you run a bus. You get on a bus with no air conditioning and go pick up kids. Yeah, as long as kids will get on a bus with no air condition, we will bring them to church. Because they have no other ride. Listen, I'm going to tell you. Now, I wouldn't mind us having an air-conditioned bus. Amen? I'm not against it. Amen? You say, preacher, what's it going to take? We're going to have to get another gauge once we get done with this one. But I'm not against it. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, all those things and niceties, but you know air condition ain't got one red thing going on with whether people get saved or not, whether they hear the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, I've learned, I was 16 years old before we put air condition in my house. I lived all 16 years, and I was okay. I lived through it. I listened to a message this afternoon, preacher, by Bobby Robertson. He was 31. He said that he was, 31 before they ever got an indoor bathroom in his house. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I could trade one of the two, indoor bathroom or air conditioning. Anyway, I'm not sure which one. depends on where you... But I mean, sometimes we think about things that we have, and if we're not careful, we'll listen to the scoffers. That we got it so bad, and it's all gone to the wayside. Listen, and we're not up to speed with everything else that's going on, and we're just stuck in an old rut and an old time. How about if we just say, yes, you're right, I am stuck in a pure mind, and I'm unwilling to change lanes. He goes on and he says, and saying, this is what they say, where is the promise of his coming? So some scoffers are going to scoff at what you do, and they're in the middle of the road, but this is the opposite of this. They want to tell you that Jesus ain't coming again. You know, we live in that day. There's a bunch of people that are jumping ship and don't believe that Jesus is coming again like he said he was for his church. They're telling you that you got to go halfway through the tribulation, or you got to go all the way through the tribulation period. Listen, how about if we just with pure minds believe what's always been preached? All my life, this book has always been true, and he's going to come and get us before that day. He's going to come and snatch his church away. He loves his bride, and I can tell you, I wouldn't leave my bride for any tribulation. I'm a man that sometimes has been double-minded. Listen, a pure-minded, pure-hearted, pure as snow, Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride. And he's going to snatch her out before any tribulation. And we ought to get it in our heart that it don't matter what the scoffers say. And when they say, where are the promises of his coming? They're in the book that you don't read, fool. That's what you need to tell them. They're still where they've always been. They're still written just like they've always been in the Word of God. So how about instead of scoffing at them, how about we start believing them? We start trusting them. We start preaching them like we used to, that Jesus is coming again. And you ought to get in, because one day it's going to be too late. He goes on, he says, for since the fathers fell asleep, you see what happened? Those that preached it Remember, the old heads preached it, but now since they fall asleep, all things continue as they always were from the beginning of the... See, instead of looking in the Word of God and believing God, they look around it. Everything keeps on going. Nothing's changed. Look, I want you to see. He goes on and he says in verse 5, "For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old." Now, I don't know about you, but I cued in and underlined it for myself. What we need to be remembered of is the word of God. The thing that set everything into existence and put everything going is the word of God. Now, there's something. If I'm going to have a pure mind, I need to not only study the word of God, but I have to be realize that I cannot be willingly ignorant that the word of God created all things that do exist. And then when he got to man, instead of just speaking us by the word of God, God himself knelt down and made man out of his own image. Now, that still shakes me to the core, and it makes me want to have a pure mind. I want to live for my Creator. Look at what he says here. "The heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water." Now, so they're ignorant of creation. You know what's something else? Everyone who denies creation, you know what else they like to deny? The flood. All right? So all these scoffers or deniers, he checks two boxes. They're ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. They willingly throw out two major truths that set you cannot understand or have good reasoning or even a pure mind. Let me just go on to say, or wisdom, true wisdom, without the understanding that God made everything. It didn't start with a big bang. It started with the word of God, and bang, it existed. And then, if you could say it like this, he goes on and says, "Whereby the world then was being overflowed with water." So something changed. The flood changed everything. It changed the landscape of everything that we know, because it flooded the earth, and the whole earth, according to the word of God, perished. That means everything that was on earth that God made, listen, outside of 8 souls on a boat that God preserved. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, isn't that a wonderful thing to realize that pure minds doing it God's way, they came out all right. Now, they didn't always keep a pure mind, did they? When Noah got off the boat, he got a double-minded mind there. What to plant, where to go, how to do it. Instead of following God's plan and everything, what did he do? He fell into sin. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we ought to keep the word of God forefront of our mind. He wasn't perfect, according to the scripture. He was a man that kept God's word and believed, and that's why God put him on that Noah. But I want you to see this. He says, "Whereby the world then was being overflowed with water perished, but," look, change in sides of the street again, "the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." But, beloved, now he says here, but this is for the natural man and what's happening. This earth, everything that is, the unsaved man has one thing to look forward to. This world was baptized with water and cleared out the earth. And if you don't get saved, according to the scripture, there's going to come a day that the Lord is going to baptize everything with fire. Even if you could make it through the great tribulation, if you figured out a way that you could live all the way until the end, there's going to come a day where you could, at least you couldn't even make it to that point, but if you could, everything that is going to be baptized with fire and be purified. I don't know if you picked it up, but again, the world was purified by water once. It will be purified again with fire. The idea and the focus of the whole thing here is purity. And purity of one's mind and purity of this earth. God wants it to be pure. He desires that. He comes to this place and he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant." For the believer, he says, don't be ignorant of these things. Here, he said, this one thing, that one day is with the Lord. And look at this. As I like this. He says that thou, he says with the Lord as the, I don't know. He says here as 1,000 years. Now 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Now when he says that, now I don't know how many of you have grown up like I did in church. But listen, if you didn't grow up in church, I'm going to try to do my best without a chart to explain this to you. That God with one day, 1,000 years is as one day. So when we hear all the scoffers saying that the Lord is just tarrying his coming and he's really putting everything off and he's not going to come like he said it was, when you start putting into perspective that one day with me or you is as 1,000 years with God. All right? Now, if God just put us off a week, that's a long time. Now, to us, a week isn't really that long, is it? So to God, and just put it into this perspective, if you take all of human history, we're approaching that 6,000-year mark. And if God promised that he was going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and again, he rested in that seventh day of creation, there's a good chance that his coming is very, very nigh. As we complete a 6,000-year span of time, and he's going to set up his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years, then we ought to come to a place that as a believer, he says, they're willing to be ignorant of these things, of creation, from the creation of man to the flood, and then this fervent heat. And if all those things are set, and we understand them to be true, that 1,000 years are as a day with God, listen, wouldn't it behoove us to understand that there's a good chance that Jesus is coming again? That Jesus is going to come again in our lifetime, and he is going to take us away, tribulation period, set up his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And for all of us, we ought to get to the place where, listen, if it says, and it started this, in the last days, if Peter was in the last days, we are surely in the last days. If Peter believed it was the last days then it really is the last days of this church age that we live in. And we ought to come to the place where we realize what he says. In verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He teaches us that God is, he don't measure time the way we do. And God is not slack concerning his promises. He don't count time like we count time. And then he says, and some men, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Now I want you to pick this up. A pure-minded man, what is he going to be mindful of? The things that God's mindful of. And he says, these are all the things God created. And then he says this. He says, is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. What are you going to do with that one, Calvinist? But that all should come to repentance. Now, I don't know how you dodge that one with your Calvinistic thinking. That God wants every man to come to repentance. He's not willing. All right? He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So as we come to the end, what is our if we're going to stir up our pure minds, we ought to recognize some things. Just the world is ignorantly, willingly ignorant of things that according to this scripture are true. And so how do I process it? I process it in this way. I put it in perspective that the power of a pure mind is that God has a purpose for my life, that God has a purpose for this earth, and that everything according to its purpose is going to be done God's way. Now, there are a lot of people that go outside of God's way, and God is not willing for one of those people that willingly, ignorantly go down the road. And who's gonna be the witness? You got to be the witness. You got to be stirred up in your pure mind if you're going to go down and tell a double-minded man. That's somebody who is in and out, one foot in, one foot out. Who's going to tell the man that ain't double-minded? He's just willingly ignorant. It's going to be the pure-minded man. He goes on and tells us this. But the day of the Lord will come. I don't know if you understand what will come means. It means there ain't no question about it. As sure as God's word is, if this book is absolutely true and you believe it is every word perfect, then that means there's coming a day. And it will happen just like he said it did. Don't matter how many scoffers stack up against it, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, all that sounds really destructive. Now, how does that affect my pure mind? Look at what he says. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I just had this question. If you had the power of a pure mind, what type of person would you picture yourself being? What would you think about when you got up in the morning? What would you give your life to? If you woke up with a pure mind, thinking about things that God thinks about. And again, I'll just say this. I preach this tonight because sometimes I think this. This is something I really believe. If we had pure minds, we'd be prayerful people. Because we couldn't always put our feet to the work. Not every minute of every day. And I even believe you're at your job, you ought not rob your boss and go witness to somebody when you're supposed to be working. I think you ought to be prepared for times. And when you have opportunity and you have time, it's your break time, it's your lunch hour, whatever it is, you ought to take time then to be a witness to your coworker. You ought not rob time from your boss. But I also know this, that there ought to be a prayerful, pure mind thinking about, where is my coworker going to go? Where is he going to spend eternity? Does he even know that all of this, everything that's around us, is going to melt down one day? Everything that's going on. Listen, folks, I really believe that we live in an age that the things that were preached tonight, that many Christians are willingly ignorant about those things. Many churches today were filled up with scoffers who showed up at their club for their Sunday morning, and they don't have a Sunday night. They don't have a Wednesday night anymore. You ask them if they have Sunday school, and they say, what's that? Yeah. It's been gone so long, they got rid of it. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, because again, it's a ritual. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't come to church as a ritual. This is God's business. This is a big deal in heaven. And when we meet together, we ought to be stirring each other up into our pure minds, because Jesus is coming again. And I want him to find me working and laboring. My pure mind tells me that one day I'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hey, folks, some of you, you've gone too far and been too faithful to quit now. Don't turn back now. Some of you just got in. And you're thinking, this crowd could be crazy. Come on in, the water's fine. All the fathers, I look out at a crowd like this, and not just because our teens are gone and our group's out. And I can't even imagine what it's like for Pastor Carter, but I look out at some of the places and the holes of folks that have passed and gone on, who were choice servants of the Lord, pure-minded people. And I know that the building that sits here today and the buses that run and so much of what we have and we work on and work with is because of the investment of their lives in the cause of Christ. And listen, we ought to work every day, not just for them, but for Jesus. We'll never get our eyes on them. They were just like us. They made a choice to invest their lives in the things of God and to not turn back. They stood faithful. We stand on their shoulders. We stand on their foundation that has been laid not only of the apostles, but by so many good and faithful people. We ought to be faithful. It's July 4th coming up, and I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, we'll get so minded coming into the fall about politics and about the economy and about the world and everything. We'll let all those things jumble our mind up. And instead of having pure minds and thinking about the things that are eternal and will matter for eternity, listen, we ought to be patriots. We ought to vote. We ought not, listen, that doesn't conflict with your pure mind. You just don't let those politics get in the way of your pure mind. You stay focused on the main thing and be a patriot. Listen, I'm going to, you know, God, family, and country has been our motto. Somewhere along the way in America, God got taken off the top. Right. Folks, we need to put him back where he's always should have been, where he always ought to be, and not be willingly ignorant of those things, but with a pure mind, focus on the things that really matter and keep them there. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Lord will save you. It's his will. We read it to you, that he's willing that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here tonight and you need to turn to Christ and accept him as your Savior, we'll meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. But as God's people, listen, I'll just ask you, are you double-minded? Were you pure-minded once? And maybe something has gotten you off track. Let us tonight reset ourselves. Let us stir ourselves up and be pure-minded for the things of God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet as the musicians come tonight. I'm going to pray. Maybe you need to step out and come. Sometimes a tough message for us from the Word of God, but let us all take root in our minds. Let it stir us up unto a pure mind. Dear Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I thank you for our church. Lord, help us never to get off into the weeds of being scoffers of the true and the right things. Help us always to be about your business and have the power of a pure mind. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.